Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. And joining us now is our pal, Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, always appreciate you. We were kind of throwing this question around in the first hour. Now that Mike Vrabel is coming into his sixth season with the Tennessee Titans, but it's his first season with kind of this elevated role. He has more of a say with personnel. He now is a little bit more in charge than when he was with John Robinson. What do you think is going to be different about this year? What do you think that we can learn from Mike Vrabel in his first year in this collaboration with Rand Carthon?
I think it's a great question, and I don't think anyone really knows the answer to how much power, or is it equal power to Rand Carthon? Because optically, it was Carthon that was fielding the questions about strategy, and Vrabel that fielded a lot of the questions about want, right, with the players at the pressers. Mm-hmm. At least that's how I read into it. And that's fair. I mean, that's typical for a GM and head coach dynamic at a podium. But there is no doubt about in my mind that if a GM and a head coach are paired together contractually, which is what happened with Robinson and Vrabel, and one is let go and one sticks around, that guy gets more power the next go around. No question about it, especially with the first-time general manager. And Carthon even pointed to Vrabel and gave him credit for all the advice throughout the whole process of the draft. Now, Vrabel also said Rand handled everything perfectly, but that is exactly what you would expect him to say. I think Vrabel has the ability to step up and say more. But Caroline, this is where I've always come down on Mike Vrabel. In a closed meeting room where Vrabel is in there with a very small amount of people and he has an opinion, it's not like he's going to sit back and let others talk and he's going to be silent. Mm-hmm. So I think he's always done this. And with the collaboration aspect, I think that's even more of his opinion in the room, not less.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. What do you think, at least looking from Amy Adams Strunk's point of view, fair expectations for Mike Vrabel this season? And if Mike Vrabel doesn't meet those expectations, is he going into 2024 on the hot seat?
I mean, by a show of hands that no one listening can see, I mean, I think we would all say we were surprised to see John Robinson fired in December.
Yes.
So by that aspect, if you're saying, oh, there are certain people who are just untouchable, I think that told everybody that no one in the organization is unfireable given certain circumstances. And that the circumstances in December were not anywhere close to the expectations of September. And, I mean, if you start to think about where this defense was, the 2022 Titans defense, they ranked sixth in points allowed. They were first against the run. They were third on third down from week two all the way to the end of the season. And that group was elite enough to be a contending team. They were coming off of that playoff loss to Cincinnati. But that's also a defense that had the most veterans. You know, there's not a super young group. And the one thing that they haven't invested in up front on the defensive line is they haven't drafted that defensive line or outside linebacker in the first three rounds since Jeffrey Simmons. So looking at the current defense, that has to be the group that carries this team. That has to be the identity of this team. And while I don't think that there are certain, I don't think there's a win total that I can sit here, Caroline, and say, oh, you know, is it a win total like we saw from Houston? Is it a win total like we saw from, you know, Jacksonville in the middle? They got on a run and went. Look, I don't think it's if you lose, it's how you lose. And I don't foresee this Titans team losing ugly, but I don't see them winning pretty either. And at the end of the path, I think, you know, a very average football team in the NFL is what I view right now compared to the expectations of where we were a year ago. So hot seat, they're never going to say that. But Vrabel is always going to coach on edge, and he's going to coach it his way. And let's also just throw this out there in 2023 before we get to the 2025 hot seat. Vrabel is going to be hired immediately if he's fired. So I don't think there's any concern right now from his vantage point of, oh, man, if I this is my one shot. General managers generally get one opportunity. It's the other way around for head coaches.
We're talking with Jonathan Hutton. Hot Mike. I was getting ready to say the other name. I'm sorry. I got to get that one out of my head. But Hot Mike.
Call it whatever you want.
Yeah, reprogram.
Hutton's show.
Yeah, it's Hutton's show. That's what it is.
He's got a show.
No.
He's in the show.
And I believe you're right in regards to Mike Vrabel and you know, his coaching style and, you know, the expectations of potentially what this team can't or can do this season. I think, you know, when you've put your team in a position that they win more times than not,
yeah,
your expectations for that next following season, regardless of what happened the season prior, it's always going to be high because of how you view your head coach. Now, with that being said, can they, because you just said, Hut, listen, they're going to have to rely on this defense. And it's nothing new. They've been relying on this defense since 1999,
right.
You know, in the run game. So with that being said, with the way this team is put together as we sit now it could change, you know, and it will change in a couple of months. But as we sit now, can this team or will they be able to do that moving forward, rely on the defense and rely on the run game? Do they have enough? Because right now we know or we assume they don't have enough in the passing game. Do they have enough on the defensive side of the ball and the run side of the ball to reach an expectation of a playoff game?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. So and before people like, wow, think about the money. Right now the answer is yes. Because they have $55 million in the defensive front. They're saying that is going to be the heartbeat of the team right now. And then in the backfield, they have Derrick Henry, who I think the assumption is he sucked last year. He didn't. And the offensive line, I think we could all point to and say that held them back more than really anything else. But we know this is a Henry-led group on offense. Defensively, it's an aging group that over time they're going to have to invest more in. So it is imperative that the offensive players that they bring in this offseason or that they're waiting on and backup roles step in and play well within a starting 11, because by 2024-25, Landry's an example of a guy that if he's still here, it's probable that he's had a monster season and he's getting a raise. That contract was basically built in with an out after the 24 season. Autry's going to be gone by this time, we're talking about, by the time the offensive players need to rise to the occasion. Byard will be out. Simmons going to be extremely expensive. Fulton seems right now unlikely to be here, but who knows? McCreary's going to be getting a second contract if he's around. You've got to build for those expectations, too, if you're Rand Carthon. This was an all-offensive draft. Again, six picks. They don't have many next year either because they've traded away for bad players. But Henry has the second best statistical season, and he was held out of a game. He could have had a 2,000-yard all-purpose season. His rushing total, sixth best since 2018, and he's getting older. All of this to say, this is the year, if you want to point to it and say, okay, can they contend in the AFC South? They still can say that with Henry and with the defense. But here's where I'm a bit off path with what their message is, and Willie can lead into it next segment with me if he wants. But if you told me right now that Derrick Henry leads the NFL in yards, the defense is top 10 in points allowed and run defense, and that Tannehill stays healthy, I would say this team has a chance. But when I look at what they've done this offseason, I say, I don't think they've committed to that. So I don't know what they're telling us other than, this is the start. This is the building blocks of what we're going to see for 24-25. But in 25, right now, the defense will be turned over by the time we get there. And we're talking about a new defensive front and defensive back. And offensively, not many pieces that you can count on right now other than Treylon Burks and Chigakonkwo, who we haven't seen enough from.
It's a very fair point. Let's continue the conversation on the other side. Jonathan Hutton sticks around with us. Coming up next, Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. Hot Mike's Jonathan Hutton is with us now.
All right, Hutt, so you were getting at something before we went to the break, and I'm going to ask it this way, because I think it's related to what you're saying. We talked about this some in the last hour. The messaging, the communication lines between Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel with Amy Adams Strunk on what your expectation level is. I mean, D-Mace was asking you, you know, if it all falls right, can they be a playoff team? I think we all agree, yes. If it all falls right, they get a little luck with injuries, and the division is what we think it's going to be, it's gettable, right? I don't know what the ceiling is. I don't know if it's go all the way, but that could happen. But at the same time, I think somewhere in the spectrum of we're going for it this year, I think we all agree they're not going for it. They shouldn't go for it this year. And they're not in a rebuild, a full rebuild. They're somewhere in the middle. So communication with Amy Adams Strunk to me is important.
Yes, and the go for it years when they traded for Julio Jones and the temper of expectations right after that trade, not the result, but the trade. This is, and we should also preface this and hit the brakes a bit. Look at the NFC South from last year. Not good football teams there, but every team felt like they could contend for the playoffs until around December. And the Titans were contending for the playoffs in the middle of a 7-game skid. So it's not like you have to be.
The Panthers are like a weird one in there. Like they were awful. Like, wait a minute. We could win this thing.
Awful. And then they put Steve Wilks in there and trade away Christian McCaffrey, and they started winning.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit here and say that they have to be 9 or 10 wins, 11 wins to be a playoff team. I in this league and in certain divisions, you don't have to be. But in the AFC West, you do, but not in the AFC South. At least that's not how high seed
right.
the division.
And a couple of years ago, we would have said that about the NFC East. We don't say that anymore. So it can change quick. But
yeah,
no question a couple of years in there, like you thought, well, if we go 9-7, we're in, like in the NFC East.
And how brutally honest are they being about that behind closed doors? They have to be. You know, it's like Rand Carthon told Steve Lehman on Channel 5 last Sunday night, and I watched it and reacted to it, that he was right now, he felt like they could win with this wide receiving core. And I was just like, no, there's no way you believe that. The war of attrition tells us that you can't do that at many of the positions. Contend, but though after thinking about contend for a division, sure, because the other teams are going to go through the war of attrition. The Colts are already selling the fact that it's going to get uglier at quarterback before it gets better, even though they have their guy in their mind. And CJ Stroud's with the Houston Texans that's been mismanaged from the top down for years. And Jacksonville's Jacksonville, and they just went to their first playoff and won the AFC South over you. But yeah, I mean, you went through all the injuries for the second consecutive year. There are all these different factors that go beyond they just drafted Peter Skoronski and Will Levis. It's much more than that. And it's about offensive play calling and the change they made there, the direction they're going to go with development at quarterback, which they have not had with previous coaches. I'm intrigued to see what the movement they've done this offseason really beneath the surface, the typical beneath the surface moves, but not the roster, the organization, the coaching staff. How much of that plays a factor in, can it play a factor in one extra win? Because that's all they needed in November and December to make the playoffs last year on a team that got John Robinson fired for lack of depth.
Yeah, a ridiculous amount of injuries. So you can, I can see the argument being, hey, look, if we just get a little luck with injuries, we can still be just as good as we were last year. I can see you selling that to Amy Adams Strunk, but also
I think you have to
be looking beyond next year, knowing that you got a 35-year-old quarterback and a Derrick Henry, who you probably won't have after next year, I wouldn't think. So would you put it, if you're trying to message Amy Adams Strunk and really the fan base, are you splitting the difference on the spectrum between full rebuild and full go for it? Are you 50-50?
I don't know how you can commit to nothing and commit to something. If you're 50-50, you've not committed to either side of that.
But would you say, though, that what they've done is close to that, to this point? It's close to 50-50, right?
Yes.
Drafting Levis, drafting a running back with the third round
just
pick,
like last year.
Looking
just
beyond.
Like last year. Just like last year's draft. That was my point from last week, yeah. Willie, is it's not the philosophy now. It's just they're running back the same philosophy. And you, if you keep swinging and missing, you will become the Houston Texans. And fast, because then you have like 1 year quarterbacks and you're or Indy, by no fault of their own, Andrew Luck retires and they have a quarterback every single year. And sure, they found Phillip Rivers, but then Phillip Rivers wanted to go coach high school football. So, I mean, there are different elements and answers to the question, but you have to commit one way or the other, even privately. And I think behind the scenes, for all of the discussion that we've had about the salary cap and saving money this year and going and getting different players, the two expensive guys on offense remain there with Tannehill and with Derrick Henry, albeit, as we've pointed out, if you don't extend their contracts, you eat it this year and you owe them nothing against the cap if you make moves moving forward. And I think that was more about what they're doing. They're keeping their two vets there, at least as I see it now. I don't know why you would let Tannehill show up to these workouts if you were going to move him and look towards the future. But at the same time, I didn't see much commitment to this year unless it was a backup offensive lineman from Philadelphia that they've deemed the starting left tackle, and they've drafted a very versatile and a very plug-and-play player in Skoronski. But beyond that, I don't see many starting roles from that group. For a group that, in a scenario, if Henry is Derrick Henry for one final time and you have a top 10 defense, I think that's a group that wins the AFC South personally.
Well, Hutt, I think if all of that sort of pans out.
Then there's a lot of ifs there.
Exactly, a whole bunch of them. Then, yeah, I think this team will continue to be on pace to not rebuild but build toward the future, and that's my term for it. I don't think this Tennessee Titans team can afford to be in a rebuilding state. They got to build for the future as they continue to play for the now try to be successful now. But looking – because – When you're discussing Mike Vrabel and, you know, whether, you know, these next two seasons is going to be a, you know, real tail sign of where this organization goes with their head coach and as a team, he's had the ability over the last three or four seasons to hire new offensive coordinators. Obviously, his most successful hire was Arthur Smith. And then Arthur Smith parlayed that into a head coaching job in Atlanta. But he had an opportunity after Arthur Smith to go outside of the organization, and he chose not to. And a lot of it is his loyalty. We see these guys working hard, and we want to elevate them. And that's commendable, and I understand that part. But when you choose to do that twice in a league that has told you if you don't have an offense – you're not going to win many games. Yeah, you can rely on your defense. You can rely on a run game. But if you don't have a passing game that can complement that run game, it's going to be very difficult for you to win. And he chose to hire from within, whether it's Todd Downing. We know how that went. And now it's Tim Kelly. Can you see his everything being tied to those hirings? If it works out with Tim Kelly, then great. Mike Vrabel continues to move on as head coach of the Tennessee Titans. If it doesn't work out with Tim Kelly, then what?
So with the Tim Kelly hire, let me jump in, Mace, just briefly here.
Okay.
Tim Kelly, Charles London, they're both interviewing for the offensive coordinator position. Tim Kelly getting the OC job and Charles London now the quarterback's coach is a lot like Vrabel getting the head coaching job and Matt LaFleur becoming OC. Mm-hmm. They interviewed both of those guys for the head coaching role, went with Vrabel, and then brought in LaFleur to be the offensive coordinator, and then he was eventually hired by the Green Bay Packers. Made a great hire from within the staff with Arthur Smith, and Tim Kelly was someone that they wanted to interview whenever they ended up going with Todd Downing, but Houston blocked them from the opportunity to talk with him. So I do want to say that they tried to talk with Tim Kelly at the time they hired Downing, and who knows, maybe we see a similar role of what we see right now between Kelly and London. Point being, offensively, they can win running the football and playing solid defense, but what they don't have right now that we have had in the past with Arthur Smith in a 2-minute drill and you're down by four, who are you throwing the football to if you start on the 18-yard line? And you've got to go get points. It's Treylon Burks and who? And Chigakonkwo, they're saying that he is going to blossom in his second year, and he very well may. But those are unknowns with, you know, not much around them at the time as whenever you need things going. I mean, this is also an offense whenever they were looking for a 2-minute drill with Julio Jones. He wasn't even on the field. Kyle Phillips is in the injury room. So, and that's no fault of his own if he's concussed. Mm-hmm. Point. You get my point here, yeah. Though. The position needs to be invested in. You don't have to be a passing offense to invest in wide receiver or lack thereof the way they have. They have to go get points in certain games. And if you're starting a rookie quarterback by the time this scenario is playing out, or even if it's Tannehill, number one, they got to protect him, and they've addressed that in their own mind, and I think they've done a much better job at depth there than what they had at this time last year with their O-line. So I do think they've done a good job so far there.
But
at wide receiver, when are they going to go get points with the group that they have if Burks is doubled and that's mm-hmm. all that we're going to see them throw to in the clutch? They need more than that, because right now they've got possession receivers and big instead of big chunk plays. Mm-hmm. They're missing the explosion for a coaching staff that said they wanted to get faster this offseason. And I'm sorry, but you can get faster on the offensive line, and it's not going to go drive down the field and get you 5 points or 6 points on a 4-point game when a field goal doesn't help you.
But I'm starting to believe what they believe inside of that building for this reason. You said Rand Carthon said, listen, we can win with this receiving core. Well, yep. I'm starting to believe what they believe, and the reason I am is because Mike Vrabel probably looked at it like this. If I change the offensive coordinator and I change the quarterback's coach, they can put together a game plan to scheme these guys open. It's not like they can't catch the ball. We just hadn't been productive in what we're doing. I've always said, listen, I think every offensive coordinator worth their salt can put together a game plan. Every offensive coordinator in the league right now, all 32 of them, can put together a game plan. But there's only a very few that can take that game plan and know how to implement it into the game as it changes. Downey didn't seem like he could. Mike probably believes that Tim can, which means we don't need, you know, the Hopkins or the OBJs or, you know, the Jamar Chases. If we have a good system that get these guys open, a la New England, but we know why, because New England had Tom Brady. But I think they believe Ryan Tannehill is good enough and knows enough that if this system gets better, the guys will get better.
Yeah, the protection of the quarterback,
yeah,
there. But if he's that definitive in the mindset, I don't know why they didn't make a change in the middle of last year if it's similar terminology with him in the building as the passing game coordinator last year by title. So, I mean, there are a lot of questions with all of this. I'm looking at it thinking, man, offensively, they have to be able to go in a with a defense that's allowing 17 to 20 points a game. You need 3 touchdowns. Last year they couldn't get that. This is an offense that needs to drive down and get a field goal to win or get a touchdown and, you know, kick the ball back off with 16 seconds left and then get a stop. And those scenarios, while they happened last year, the Titans had the ball last and the other team won.
Hutton, appreciate you as always. We'll chat with you next week.
Always enjoy this. You guys have a great rest of the week.
Awesome. Thanks, Hutton. We'll be sure to tune in from 2 to 5 on the Outkick Network for Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. But coming up next, it's Josh Heupel's job to win games. And that's what it looks like his system has been doing, at least in the last 2 years at Tennessee. But is there another piece to that that could potentially hurt the team moving forward? We'll get into that coming up next and what a national recruiting expert had to say about that. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.